And now we turn our attention to your performance at work. It's likely if you are a salaried employee that your performance is evaluated, and that annual performance review is much reviled. Studies show between 60 and 90% of company workers dislike the performance review. This is also true of a lot of managers who say they don't enjoy doing them. Some companies are starting to look at alternatives, but as NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports, the performance review is pretty entrenched.
Samuel Colbert is a management professor at UCLA.
I do research in dysfunctional management practices.
One of his favorite targets, the performance review.
They're fraudulent, bogus, and dishonest. And second, they're indicative of and they support bad management.
Several years ago, Colbert offered his unvarnished views about performance reviews on the pages of the Wall Street Journal. He blasted them as one-sided forms of employee intimidation and said they breed defensiveness and tension. His piece became a sensation. Thousands of letters poured in.
Most people got worked up about it because for employees, they don't like getting them, and for managers, they don't like giving them.
Of course, some human resources executives rush to defend the performance review. Nearly 90% of companies do formal evaluations at least once a year, according to a report last week from the Society for Human Resource Management. But a majority also give them low marks for effectiveness. Companies started embracing the review system in the 1960s and 70s, hoping to manage bigger workforces more effectively. They needed a uniform grading system, hence the five-point scale. John Hagel is co-chair of a research arm of Deloitte that looks at emerging management trends. He says these days, American companies need something different, a system that rewards the contributions of what he calls passionate workers. These are very engaged people willing to try novel things and risk failure.
Passion levels actually in the U.S. workforce are extremely low. At best, we can find about 12%.
Hagel says many performance reviews tend to reward orthodoxy and reliability, but
passionate workers often don't play by the rules.
Ashley Williams is, by her own admission, enthusiastic and outspoken at work. As a public school teacher turned web engineer, she thought these qualities would be valued, but that hasn't been her experience.
The biggest critique I've ever received is that I am extremely, aggressive.
Williams says her performance reviews suffered, and she was told to take it down a few pegs.
Just care less and it will be okay. Just kind of go along with it, you know. Don't put so much effort forward. And that made me cry, honestly. That's I think, one of the worst things that you can ever be told in a performance review.
Because reviews have a reputation for demoralizing workers, some experts say in the past couple years, companies have started to back away.
Companies are finally facing the fact that this is not the way that we drive optimum performance and engage our workforce.
Kim Rule is a talent management consultant. He says the primary problem is companies often tie reviews to discussions about raises, and that makes it difficult for employees to actually hear the feedback.
They're going to get away from systems driven by compliance and systems that are driven by numbers, and they're going to move to systems that are driven by meaningful conversations and with the employee's benefit in mind.
4 years ago, telecom equipment maker Juniper Networks scrapped its performance review, replacing it with what it calls a conversation day, which is neither documented nor graded. Stephen Rice is Juniper's HR executive.
There's no label associated with any individual. So from our perspective, there is no formal or traditional performance management process in the company.
And he says it now retains more top performers. But it isn't easy to get rid of evaluations altogether, says Samuel Colbert, the UCLA professor whose op-ed inspired the debate.
Some companies just rename it and they say we're getting rid of reviews, and then they do something equally stupid.
Even for those who avow dislike for reviews, he says, there's a deeply ingrained impulse to do them. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.